Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
My math is correct. It is week 13 in the National Football League. Bear Bets Podcast is back. I'm your host, Chris Felica. Some people call me the Bear. Some people call me Chris. Some people have other four-letter words for me as well. Jeff Schwartz hopefully is not one of them. Will Hill and Sammy P may be amongst that crowd though as well. But how are we?
I'm good. It's so crazy thing about the difference in like the NFL and college. Like NFL is week 13 and it feels like week 1 and 2 and 3 and 4 don't even matter. Where college football, it's like, well, Texas beat Alabama in week 2. That's what matters. And now we're like in NFL. Whatever. Someone beat someone else in week 2 or 3. Who cares now?
But unlike college, we have a specific playoff structure where you've got divisions and we know
and you play twice and everything.
We know the guidelines for and the rules and the criteria of actually qualifying for the playoffs. Whereas in the college football playoff, they have it nice subjective, which is the way they like it. That way they can keep it very ambiguous. That way they can kind of mold it to whatever they kind of want to do.
How many NFL divisions are still up for grabs right now? The NFC East is up for grabs.
The NFC South.
NFC South and East.
And that's probably it. 49ers are going to win the West.
What about the Philly and Cowboys? No?
Yeah, I guess you could say that's kind of you could say that's kind of up for grabs.
Okay. What about the AFC North? That's Baltimore's, right?
Yeah, two games up on Pittsburgh and Cleveland.
Dolphins East.
Two games up on the Bills. Chiefs are two games up on the Broncos.
And now the Jaguars are two games up on the Texans, right? That's it, yeah. Week 13, we already know. The playoffs are going to be so much for parity, right? We figured out. It's often, too, the best quarterback in the best division. It's not very hard to pick division winners sometimes. And it's not very hard for us to pick some winners. You're doing great in the NFL. Let's keep this going.
We're a little above 500. We were better, but last week was...
Well, let's get back on track.
We're going to try.
So for those who are new, welcome. For those who have been here, you know how this works. Bear has picks now for the NFL. We'll get to gambling group chat. We'll do Survivor and we'll do our best bets. So right now, Bear's first game that he likes, Cincinnati Bengals at the Jacksonville Jaguars. Jaguars are favored by 9. Bengals are 5-6 overall. They're 4-6-1 against the spread. Lost Steelers last weekend without Joe Burrow out for the season. Just had wrist surgery. Hope he's well for next season. Jaguars 8-3 overall and against the spread. They just beat the red-hot Houston Texans in Houston. Bear, where are we going here?
I know the Bengals are going nowhere now with Brownie a quarterback. And playoffs are a dream. But despite the defense not being what it was last, like, it's still a prideful enough unit, I think, to keep them in the game. I think Browning, he was fine against Pittsburgh. He's not Joe Burrow, but look, the Steelers defense last week, he was okay in that game. They easily could have won that game. Now you're going up against Jacksonville. I think it's a better matchup for them. 9 just feels like too many. Do I think they're going to go there and win? No, but it's nearly double digits. I'll take the Bengals here.
Yeah, Jacksonville's offense has just not been clicking right.
No.
The one concern I have for Bengals is I was on the Bengals. I think you were last weekend as well against Pittsburgh. Maybe you weren't.
No, I was not.
But I thought the Bengals were going to have that sort of that one game bounce of the backup quarterback. Mm-hmm. First game of like just we're going to play really well with Jake Brown, and they didn't. They didn't. And that's the concern about this game is like, are they just a dead man walking franchise right now, knowing that everything they wanted to accomplish is now done for the season. Not win the North, not going to be a playoff team, and sort of this, their growth as a team was blunted this year with the Burrow injury.
But I thought the Jets could have been that one game bounce, and the locker room would have been ecstatic that Tim Boyle was starting and not Zach Wilson. And the same thing with I thought the Patriots were going to start someone else other than Mac Jones. And
well, the Hail Mary almost got the team fired up for the Jets.
That was someone on national radio. I'm not going to say who it was or the network had like a take and like saying like I was like astounded at what they said about that. Like his take was that the fact that was Xavier Howard who ran it back. Is that who it was?
No, it was Javon Holland.
Javon Holland.
Oregon Duck.
Yeah, that's what I'm. That showed how selfish and like stat driven the Dolphins were. That the first thing he thought of was intercepting the ball and running it back for a touchdown. That the first thing he should have thought of was just knocking it down. And I was like, huh? I'm like, you had an opportunity to get an interception and make a total game and momentum changing play after Tua had thrown, I think, interceptions on two consecutive plays in a game that you should have been up like 17 points. It was going to be a one score game going into the locker room. And you had a chance to completely change them. But you, the first is should be knock it down and not try and make the, I was like one of the dumbest things I've ever heard.
Yes. Not surprising. So you have the Bengals here +9 to start out the day. The next wager is going to be Arizona at Pittsburgh. Steelers favored by 5.5. Might get to 6 at some point.
Oops.
But Arizona is 2-10 overall, 6-6 against the spread. So they're covering games. Steelers are 7-4 straight up and against the spread. Bear, what do we got here?
I'm gonna hold my nose. And I'm going to take the Cardinals plus the points here.
As you should.
Hoping it gets to 6 for everybody out there. So you might want to wait. It's probably headed that way. Look, they were awful last week. They were terrible. They scored 16 and 14 points the last couple of weeks. It's hard to lay points with the Steelers. Usually you're not laying close to a touchdown, but I think that's going to be a rare spot. And we joke about it on the gambling group chat. Like, every Steelers game is kind of like every Chargers game. It's going to be close. It's going to be ugly. It's going to be low scoring. And I think this will be close. I think it will be ugly. It will be low scoring. And that leads me to take the Arizona Cardinals plus a 6. Just don't win the game because I have that Arizona under 3.5 win.
Well, 5.5 for now.
3.5 that I need to need to catch that ticket as well. So nice Mike Tomlin, coach of the year ticket. Yeah. So. Yeah, just do enough to cover the number.
Why is it that some coaches, I should be able to answer this question, but I don't know. Like Mike Tomlin is a big favorite, and this is not big per se, but the NFL 5.5 is a good number. Like they're just bad as favorites, man. I don't know what it is. The team gets overconfident or they don't. It's just odd to me. I don't get why.
I think it's the makeup of the team that they're really not. They're kind of built to be like an underdog who can kind of just hang around an ugly game, ugly it up.
And when you're 5.5-point favorite, you ugly it up and Arizona covers.
You're keeping them in the game.
Yeah. Arizona's feisty, man. They got their butts whooped by the Rams last weekend, but they're feisty enough to keep in this game. Plus, Steelers, 5.5-point favorite. Like, what are we doing?
Get to 6 for me, please.
Yeah, hopefully the 6 will be there at some point. So, to recap, Bear has the Bengals +9 at Jacksonville. That's a Monday Night Football game, correct?
It is.
Monday Night Football game. And you have Arizona plus the 5.5, maybe gets to 6 at some point, but 5.5 for now against the Steelers this weekend. We will cover all the NFL action. We'll talk MVP. We'll talk coach of the year. We'll talk some fun parlays you might be able to make in the NFL. We got Will's favorite teaser. We have all that. The gambling group chat. It's going to be Will Hill, Sammy P, myself, and the Bear right here. Here is the NFL gambling group chat.
Gambling group chat is back with Sammy, Will Hill, and my co-host Jeff Schwartz. I guess we may as well just start with the biggest game of the week, San Francisco at Philly. Niners taking all the money. There are threes in most places now, 47.5. MVP may be at stake. Home field in the playoffs may be at stake. Super Bowl, so much at stake here. Will, I haven't heard one person make the case for the Eagles yet. Will you?
You're not going to hear one here. I like San Francisco. Now, I'm not crazy about laying 3. There was 1.5 all the way up to 2.5. Like, you missed the boat. So maybe you play a cheaper money line, the cheapest money line you can find, so you don't sort of middle yourself here, side yourself. I just think this is a great spot for San Francisco. Extra rest. They didn't play since Thanksgiving, and that was a ho-hum game where they basically just took the foot off the gas the entire second half, so they have 10 days off. Meanwhile, Philly played Monday night against Kansas City, Thanksgiving week, down to the wire. Then they play the Bills, basically play a fifth quarter. That goes down to the wire. They get all banged up. They play almost 100 plays on defense, and now you're going to turn around and play San Francisco, who's rested, who's out for blood, playoff revenge after last year. And I just hope we see a fair fight. I mean, last year, Purdy got hurt, and I know people say, oh, you know, Philly would have won anyway. We have no idea what would have happened. San Francisco was a good team. They are a good team. I think San Francisco gets it done here.
Sammy, any thoughts?
I've tried to take Philly out the last 2 weeks, and it hasn't gone well. I'm like a wounded animal right now. I mean, Kansas City was better for three quarters. Eagles win. Buffalo was better for maybe four quarters. Eagles win. It's tough to step in front of a team that not only has one loss, but keeps finding ways to cover. They are 8-1-2 at the window. Not only are they the best regular season record team, they are the best cover team in the league. I want to go against them again, but I might be living under a bridge. I want to say this, though. Is Jalen Hurts, as good as he's been in the last 3 weeks, is he really the MVP of the NFL right now? I know he's the betting favorite.
No. No.
What are we talking about? He's not the best player in football right now. He's the quarterback of the best team. And I think this is the new age voting of the MVP. We're just going to give it to the most important player, wink, wink, the quarterback on the best team. I can't wrap my hands around Jalen Hurts being a $2 favorite to win the MVP. I just don't get it.
Well, here's what I would do, Sammy, if I were you, because I know Will and I think we've all talked about it on there. Like Brock Purdy at 14-1 or 16-1, whatever he is now for MVP. I think if you like the Niners here, I think you just play Purdy to win MVP, because in order for him to win the MVP, they need to win in Philly. If they don't win in Philly, he's not winning the MVP. But if they win, you're going to see this number get absolutely slashed. And then that opens up a lot of opportunities. But I think that's the way to potentially play this, because I think if the Niners win here, you're looking at a team that's probably going to go 13-4, 14-3, if they can win out. And he probably will. But you're right. It's turned into a default quarterback award. Quarterback on a number one or a number two seed has had a great year. You got to go back. What was it? 2012 when Adrian Peterson, yes, I think, won it.
Yeah.
And he's the last non-quarterback to win it. So while I think we all think that Tyreek Hill is well deserving of the MVP, and there are other players who are probably deserving of the MVP, it probably will go to another quarterback. I wanted to go back to what you've both been mentioning about the Eagles and what Sammy said, and talk to you about this, Jeff. Because if you look at the Eagles game, when you talk about the extra rest that the Niners have, playing the overtime game against the Bills, the Monday night game on a short week against the Chiefs, the emotional rivalry game against the Cowboys that you probably should have lost as well. Like, we talk about it when we handicap these games, yeah, about spots and perfect time, perfect situation, like, cumulative effect of all those games. Is that real, or is that just, yes, bullshit that we make up?
I think it's real during the regular season. I mean, obviously when it comes to playoff time, there's a different energy, and so you're able to withstand sort of that. But this is the Eagles have played very physical games now for weeks on end. The Niners are well rested. That doesn't matter. They have extra rest. They play on Thanksgiving. They have more rest. And you know, when you have a team like the Eagles that have older players, especially in the offensive defensive lines, I think it does matter to have less rest and play more physical games. And it's not, look, mentally, they're going to be perfectly prepared for this game. They're not going to not be prepared. But as the season gets longer, you sort of, those bumps and bruises get a little bit tougher to rehab when you have games where you keep having to be very violent and physical and kind of win the game on the backs of your offensive defensive line. So I do think it does matter in this game, because the thing about it, when you're the Eagles too, you get everyone's best shot. And now you get the Niners, who feel like they should have beaten you, you know, what 6 months ago, 7-8 months ago. They're rested. They're healthy. I like the Niners first half, guys. I think Niners come out with a very scripted game plan, get on track very early. And then to Sammy's point, the Eagles just find a way to win. Eagles in the second half of games have played much better than the first half of games, right? So I think to me, at least recently they have, obviously. I think to me, Niners first half is the way to play. Even maybe Niners first quarter, just the way they come out in this game, fresh, prepared. I'm sure that Kyle Shanahan and staff have thought about this game now, Bear, for months on end. They've game planned this game for months on end. They're going to have a great plan early in the game, and we'll see if the Eagles can adjust to what the Niners can do. So I think Niners' first half is the way to play this one.
The other game, which I think is kind of interesting this week, and now Monday night, the Bengals go to Jacksonville. Like, the Jaguars up to 9 now. It feels like kind of a dangerous game for me. The Jags getting that win in Houston last week. A lot of people talking about them potentially as the number one seed in the AFC.
No.
I don't want to lay 9 with Jacksonville here. Do you, Sammy?
No, I like under. You can go under 38. I think it's going to keep crawling. And not just because, you know, Sunday and Monday night unders are on a 23-3 run, which is absurd.
Primetime under.
Absurd. Sammy following under. Sammy just following the trend.
Sammy's the bartender
just
again.
Following trends. That's it. No handicapping involved.
Trend guy.
I walked right into that. I will own it. Jacksonville's defense is better than Jacksonville's offense. We've chronicled this for a month on Bear Bets. Their D is way better than their O. And, you know, Cincinnati without Joe Burrow is like College Game Day without the Bear. It's just not the same. Jake Browning at quarterback doesn't move my meter, guys. It's not an offense that can hit the home run plays. When you can hit home run plays to Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins, and your quarterback is also mobile and able to throw on the run, your offense can do anything it wants. When you have Jake Browning under center, you lose all of the versatility. This is a 20-17 at max, you know, 20-10. Cincinnati's not going to score. Yeah. And Jacksonville's defense is very, very good.
Jake Browning and Joe Burrow both played in the college football playoff.
I saw a stat. There were PFF ranked the supporting cast for every quarterback, or really every team, like outside of quarterback. Right? Jacksonville was in the bottom 5 on offense. Like they're not giving Trevor Lawrence. He's had issues himself sometimes. You're like, they're just not giving the support around the quarterback with the offensive line, the wide receivers that we think watching them play football, they should have. And it hurts their offense. That's why their offense is not as highly rated as other offenses. So I think the point about, do they cover this number? Is the under the way to go? This is now a trend. I mean, it's not really a trend. It's what Jacksonville is this season. Offensively, they're just not sort of whole. But to Sammy's point, defensively, they're playing really good football this year. They played well against C.J. Stroud this past weekend. Possibly the hottest offense in the NFL, the way Stroud's been playing.
MVP of the league, C.J. Stroud.
MVP of the league, yep. Yeah, after that Panthers loss like a month ago. MVP.
Since he's got to be a little demoralized too. 2 years ago, they're a play away from winning the Super Bowl. Last year, they're a play from going back to the Super Bowl. Now they're 5-6 with a backup quarterback just playing out their string. You know, their season's over. So it'd be Jacksonville or nothing. I think Jacksonville's a great teaser leg. I know, Bear, we were texting the other night. Like, sometimes teasers are just the best way to play. I know you don't play them very often, but to me, you throw this in like a 6.5 team teaser, you just get it down to the 2.5 and you put it in your pocket and say, hey, if you beat me, you beat me. But it would be Jags or nothing. But just as an aside, Jags might be the most confusing team in the league to me. Are they contenders? Are they really good? Are they okay? They just beat up on a bad division. Week to week, I change my mind on them. Is Lawrence really good? Is he a little overrated? I can't get a feel. I don't know if you guys have some strong opinion on Jacksonville. There's a path here where they still could get the one seed, I guess, at 8-3 and a reasonable schedule. I can't wrap my arms around the Jags.
They're like the Clippers. They're the Clippers of the NFL.
Yeah.
I mean, they've actually made a conference championship game though, so not quite.
Didn't the Clippers make the
The Clippers have never made the conference finals.
A couple years ago, yeah, they did when Kawhi got hurt.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I mean, I'm a big NBA guy, so I remember that.
Yes,
the Clippers did in the Western Conference Finals
2 years ago.
I thought they made it to like the second round. Nonetheless, the Jacksonville.
No, you're NBA. Damn it, Earl.
I just know my one Clipper fact because they're just irrelevant in Los Angeles. It was nice as a kid though. Go to the sports arena. You could pay like $8 and sit in the fourth row. We did that a lot as a family.
We used to have our production office in the Clip Joint in the sports arena. What an absolute dump.
what a bad place to watch.
Oh, what a terrible building.
What is Mahomes for MVP right now, by the way? Because, I saw a lot of bad basketball in the sports arena. But it was cheap, man.
Ron Harper.
It was cheap and it was easily affordable. You could go to the games. It was awesome. For MVP, by the way, if Rashee Rice can catch a football for the Chiefs, Mahomes is going to win the MVP again, right? Like, if they can just...
Will he?
Who's going to win? If they're the one seed, who's going to win? Who's going to win? Brock Purdy over him? Jalen Hurts over Mahomes? If Rashee Rice can catch a football, as he did last weekend, the Chiefs offense is normal again. wouldn't he win the MVP again if they end up winning? I'm not saying he's deserving of it, but he's going to be, they're going to be the one seed most likely again.
I can't look up awards prices here in New York.
In New York City?
He's
7-2 on Mahomes.
You've had better numbers earlier in this year. I was just curious
the what if people just keeps dropping and dropping.
But that doesn't that don't they have to win the division in order for him to win MVP?
Yes.
I get it if you took him 35-1.
Their schedule gets tough.
Yeah, it does. Like it was 35-1 a couple weeks ago. I get that, but it's 7-1, I don't know.
No.
Okay. Let's throw out like the idea of best quarterback on best team wins. Who would you guys vote for the MVP right now? If you was like, we're not voting for the best, like who is the MVP right now? Is it Tyreek Hill? Is it Myles Garrett? Like, is
I'd vote for
who
Mahomes.
Is the MVP of the, I'm just saying like, I think we, and I'm with you guys on some years when it's like, we just give it to the best quarterback, no matter what. There were years which I thought JJ Watt should have won it. Aaron Donald had a chance to win. Like I think those guys in some years when they get 22 sacks, like they're impacting a game in a way that we can't really quantify at times. They win. So people are like, who is the actual MVP this year?
What if you put Patrick Mahomes' name next to Brock Purdy's stats?
Well put. He's
probably unanimous MVP.
What are probably, yeah. It's a good point, actually. I think Mahomes' stats will get better if Rashee Rice can catch a football. Well, for the Brock Purdy hits, you're going to hit the Brock Purdy one? I mean, are the Niners going to, is he going to win the MVP if they're not the one seed? Because they're two back of the Eagles right now, right?
They have to beat the Eagles. But that's the thing. If they beat the Eagles this week, I think he has an excellent path to win, because I think then you're looking at maybe the Eagles lose next week in Dallas, and then you're looking at maybe a couple of like,
sure,
then,
yeah.
Then there's a path.
I don't trust the Cowboys to beat the Eagles though, so I don't. That's like not.
You don't trust the Cowboys?
Why no, not? Never. Never trustworthy.
All right. So speaking of teasers, Will, I'm looking at these games right here. I'm trying to figure out what will America's teaser be on Sunday. Like, I don't know if people will tease Kansas City down to just win in Green Bay. Like, I don't think that's it.
Tennessee out to 7 for sure. I would put Tennessee out to 7.
Tampa, you can't really tease Tampa, maybe knowing that Kyle Trask might play for Tampa. Like, I'm Steelers down. Steelers down is absolutely going to be one leg for sure.
Are we sure?
What about Eagles up?
Eagles up might be the way to go.
Eagles and Titans. Titans getting 7 points at home as a Vrabel as an underdog against who? It's against
or Jacksonville down to 2.5 under the field goal. I think Steelers down and Jags down. I think those will. I think those will be the two popular ones. But again, I'm not a teaser guy. Will, what do you think? You honestly, I'm not giving you a hard time or busting your chops. Like you like follow this. Like religiously, like you dial in to like figure out your best teaser combinations all week. Like what are you thinking right now for a two teamer?
I actually don't. I just look at the ones that are 1.5, 2-point dogs and I take them up to 8.5 because it's the NFL in 2023. All these games are close. They're all low scoring. Nobody gets away with nobody wins going away. Like the Steelers, but anytime they're in a game or a good teaser, like they don't all hit. Like the Browns last week against Denver, Denver pulls away. But I agree with Jeff. You get the Titans up to 7.5. You shop around and you know, there's some 1.5s I think out there. That's a good one. People are going to be listening to this on Friday. I'm sure there's plenty of Cowboys Jags teasers because Cowboys opened 8.5. So Titans are a good leg. Chiefs are a good leg too. I mean, that's a prime time. People are going to want to bet the Chiefs to just win the game against Green Bay. I know Love has looked better here, but a Chiefs Jags one makes sense. So definitely a different combinations. But when you go through the 6 and the 3, and especially when you tease the dogs up, which I don't know if a lot of people like to do, all these games are so close and so low scoring. Those points are extremely valuable. You don't have to sit there and sweat out the coin flip of who's going to win, who's going to make a kick, miss a kick. You have those points in your back pocket. It's a lot better feeling.
You go down this list of games this week, and like there are so many that, like, Chargers Patriots, I want no part of. Jets Falcons, I want no part of.
Wait, but do you want part of Aaron Rodgers leading your Jets back the week 15, 16, 17 this year?
Look, to glory? There isn't a doctor alive that's going to clear him to play.
Are we sure he's even using a doctor?
In an NFL
he's the doctor.
Game.
He's the doctor, though. That's the point. He's his own doctor.
And why unless he's got some ridiculous contract incentive, why would you want to play behind that offensive line right now?
To like, prove that he's smarter than everyone else, that he can hear faster?
He's not coming back. And Like, I've seen a sports book out there, like, post will Aaron Rodgers play again with a yes price. Please post it, no. Please.
Bear, but you,
I'm
Bear,
dying but, to bet the no on this.
Bear, they posted a video of him in slow motion during individual drills yesterday. He's back to 100%.
Yeah.
He's going to lead your Jets to the promised land at the end of the season. And then into next season, you have the hype is going to be back on Aaron Rodgers.
Next time I see him actively playing on a football field, he was gonna I want to see will be next July during preseason football.
Will said he laid money on him to be comeback player of the year.
That I did not say that. Comeback player of the year, that number is dropping and dropping. People can't get enough Aaron Rodgers comeback player of the year. You wonder how these, you know, you go to Vegas and there's these tall buildings. You wonder why these sports books always win. That's why people bet Aaron Rodgers comeback player of the year. Enough. He's not playing. Stop.
It would be the greatest comeback, though, since like ancient Greece. I mean, this would be biblical, right? If he actually does come back, the recovery time. I mean, does he just have no care about his future? That leg is going to look like a leg of lamb, like when it comes off the spit. It's going to fall off the bone, right?
Like say, Jeff and I were talking about this on the way up. Like Cam Akers came back in like, what, five and a half months or something like that? And like that's like record setting. Like he was 22 years old. Like, and then he just tore the other. So like, the recurrence of an injury or injuring the like we have a Gil Alexander we know he's ruptured both Achilles tendons because the other he overcompensated and the other one happened. So like it's so idiotic to like is Aaron he's not playing.
He's playing just to make you as a Jets fan excited for next season.
No, I'll be excited about I'm not going to be excited about next season because I was far too excited about this season, and I knew what was going to happen, and it happened four plays.
This is why he texts us all negative all the time. He's a Jets fan.
Correct.
Yeah, that it is. That's true.
Correct.
That's true. We're getting to the roots of it. Bear, do you have a feel, though, for the Jets? Is there somebody in the building that's just going to look at him and say, hey, no, this isn't happening. We're not doing this. Is there an adult in the room to just put their foot down like, hey, get this idea out of your head?
Hopefully,
we're not doing this.
Hopefully
stupid.
The doctor.
It's not happening.
Hopefully the doctor and the surgeon who did the surgery.
I'll just say, if they let him practice, they do think that he can play at some point. I mean, not play per se this year, but like they think he's good enough to practice. Like they're not going to clear him to practice, Bear, if it's not healed enough to practice. I don't think
the Jets haven't had an adult in the room since Bill Parcells was there. Why is it going to change now?
I do think from the perspective of the head coach in the situation and the general manager, they're on the hot seat right now. And if Rodgers can come back and play a game or two and they win those games and he looks good, it certainly saves their job. Now, of course, another risk of that is getting hurt again and then he's out for some more extended time next season. Your job is over anyways. But I think there's part of it to where like the Jets coach is probably hoping he comes back to get a couple games of him in to say, look, see, here's proof of concept. Here's what we wanted to do. And we're doing it now, at least for the last couple weeks of the season.
Speaking of somebody that did come back from an injury, Kyler Murray. I'm hoping I can get six with the Cardinals this week. We joke about the Chargers. Every Chargers game is the same. Every Steelers game is the same as well. Gross, yeah. Ugly, low scoring fourth quarter. Find a way to win. I'll take Arizona plus 5.5, but I'm hoping I can get a six here. Sam, you got any thoughts? And a total of 41 on this one as well.
I'll be heads up with you. You know, it's so good that they brought Kyler Murray back a couple weeks ago to get that second win of the season. Now they're 2-10. Maybe you win another game and you don't pick first overall. Just brilliant, brilliant game planning, brilliant organizational structure. What they just got pantsed by the Rams. And I know that laying points with the Steelers is not something that we all want to do on a weekly basis. And it really doesn't happen because they're not laying numbers like this, 4, 5, 6. But the Sharps slammed Pittsburgh. They hit them at 3.5, really? 4, 4.5. Now, we're in that dead zone now at 5.5. You might get six. I think it's going there. It's an expensive 5.5 offshore right now. This could all change, obviously, by Sunday. But my concern just stylistically is how does Arizona score? Maybe they PI themselves down the field and get a bunch of deep balls, but I think Pittsburgh's defense is going to just suffocate Arizona, and the little guy's going to have a really tough outing. If I'm Arizona now, do I even care? I'm 2-10. Do my players care? I know my coach cares because he's a rookie head coach, but I wouldn't bet Arizona here. They suck.
Well, I think our Arizona win total is probably going to be safe here.
Yeah, I'm on
it.
Niners, Eagles.
Let's not count our money.
they went in twice. They basically are going to have to beat the Steelers this week. Steelers, Bears, and Seahawks. They got to win two of those three to get to four.
Feel a lot better if it wins this week.
I will too.
I just find it so funny with the Steelers fans how much rejoice there was in the community for 400 yards on offense last week. I didn't even know that was a thing. They hadn't reached 400 yards of offense in 58 games. Not once, not by happenstance. They played, how many overtime games have they played the last 3 years, Bear? And they didn't happen to stumble into 400 yards. And they did it in a game where they easily could have lost this past week in the Bengals too. 400 yards on offense is the bar for the Steelers. I love it.
But Will, this game does bring into another wager that you made, and I'll let you give it out. But I know you said it a couple of times. But if the Steelers do wind up winning this week, it brings Tomlin Coach of the Year really into play.
Sure. And again, I'm with you on Arizona here. Tomlin's good as a dog. He's good off a loss, but he's a favorite and he's off a win. So to me, this is like 20-17. That's every Steelers win is 20-17. So I think the points are good here, but I still think Tomlin, the coach of the year, is much like the MVP. They're both wide open. They're both a lot of candidates, a lot of moving parts here. There's a lot to be decided in this last portion of the season. I think if Pittsburgh gets in, and Houston gets in, it'll be fascinating. I think Ryan's and Tomlin should be the two favorites. I don't buy the Dan Campbell stuff at all. Never won this award. It's a sort of a lifetime achievement deal. He's almost the star of the team where there's no talent on this team. So if he gets them in the playoffs, look, they're probably going to the playoffs. They get Cincy again. They get a winnable game this week. They get the Patriots. And by the way, we get the Patriots, I think, three times in primetime in December. How lucky are we? I think
Tomlin is missing
12-1. I think we do. A Thursday night, a Monday night, and a Sunday night, I think. But to me, Tomlin at 12-1 is a good bet. And there's a book out there that lets you parlay awards. I bet Purdy MVP parlayed with Tomlin Coach of the Year. Wow. 254-1. That's going to be a fun one.
Wow. I might have ridden your coattails on that one as well. So we are definitely rooting
for missed that text message for that bet.
You can't do it. You can't do it anyway. Actually, you can do it here.
Well, I'm here right now. I got
to
do it.
I didn't want to get scolded. I know how you feel about Purdy. You're going to say mean things. If I tell you anything Purdy MVP, you start to say mean things. So that's why I don't think you got that message.
That is fair, though. Yeah, that is fair. I do like making money, though. So that offsets some of my Purdy hate sometimes.
Oh, yeah. So we're looking at Patriots at Broncos, the Christmas Eve game.
Merry Christmas.
Patriots versus Chiefs. Yeah. Bah humbug.
Oh, the Pats have three straight primetime games coming
at up. Steelers. Disgusting, gross offense. Well, what's the Patriots team total going to be there? Patriots versus Chiefs. Patriots at Broncos.
I'm just excited to get the text message from Sammy with 2 minutes left in the Patriots Chargers game this weekend that shows the score within 3 points on either side.
This game, how is this total? Like, you can still get 41 out there. Like, who's scoring points in this game, Sammy?
Bailey Zappi?
That's
even
what we
say
thought last week. And
I know. That was a joke. I tried to get through it. I lasted like 2 seconds. It's okay. This is the unbettable football game. I'm looking at the board right now, and I'm thinking to myself, like, all right, if you were going to – remember the Pepsi challenge when it was Coke against Pepsi? If you gave me the Chargers in one shot glass, the Patriots in the second, and bleach in the third, I might take the bleach rather than bet this game. It is so bad. I mean, the Patriots have no offense. Their defense is banged up, battered with injuries. The coach is on the way out. He's lost the locker room. But then you've got the immovable object, the Chargers as a favorite. You know, you ask Chris Andrews or Ed Sammons or John Murray or Chris Bennett, you know, the wise guys in Vegas for years have taken the Chargers as dogs and faded them as favorites. So I will take the bleach. I stand by that in this one.
In 20, we were joking about Arizona before about like not picking one. Not only could they not pick one, they might not pick two. And Carolina, like if they win another game this year, I'd be surprised. And New England, they finished like, is this just like that actually brings a good question. Like, do you think Belichick is gone, or is this just like this Robert Kraft, Bill Belichick master plan tank job to be able to take whoever's there at number two, Drake May or Caleb Williams.
How do you let a guy like that who can't put together an offense without Brady take another quarterback? He's the greatest coach we've ever seen in the NFL. But I mean, that would be malpractice if you let Bill Belichick try and develop another quarterback. You know, he had Brady for two decades. It worked really, really well. They won a lot of championships. They have a whole bunch of jewelry. But then, you know, the Cam Newton thing went completely sideways, and that was his decision to bring in Cam. I still don't know who liked Mac, whether it was Kraft or Bill, but they've put nothing around Mac Jones. They've ruined Mac Jones. He had a really good rookie year, and then he's been awful the last 2 years. Do you have any faith in Bill developing Caleb Williams or Drake May? It's hard to watch the Patriots' offense the last 3 years with a special teams coordinator and a defensive coordinator running your offense. I wouldn't do it. And that's nothing against what Bill has done, but the last 4 years are telling, very telling, how bad this offense has gotten.
I would put money on Belichick being the next Panthers head coach. I bet David Tepper just swings for the fences and just like, he's like, you know what? Belichick, like I'm hiring Belichick. We're cleaning things up around here.
That he's going to be at his age. He's going to go rebuild that team with no picks from the,
like what Tepper seems like the guy that's going to take a swing like that, isn't he?
Yeah. But like kidding aside, like it's, not a job that
it's a terrible
would
job.
Want.
It's a terrible
You've got
job.
No picks and Bryce Young, who might not be able to play.
It's a terrible job. But I'm telling you, Tepper's going to try to swing for the fences. He's done like the Frank Reich and the Matt Rhule thing. He'll try to bring an established veteran coach who has a track record of winning, obviously, and that's Belichick. And he has unlimited money. It doesn't matter. The money to him is whatever. Right. He'll pay for a coach. I would put some money on that.
I think what motivates Belichick at this point? Is it another big paycheck, or is it, hey, I want to win one without Brady, and he's smart enough, obviously, to know he needs a quarterback. Can he find his way to the Chargers? That's the one, just as like a neutral fan, I kind of want to see Herbert with Belichick with Herbert. But Herbert, they do him no favors there.
Here's the thing about it is like you can't let personnel. Belichick, in my opinion, have control personnel. And if he goes to Carolina, maybe Tepper's like, you can do anything you want. In Los Angeles, if you hire him there, I think Harbaugh's going there too. But you can't, wherever he goes, in my opinion, I think he can still coach, but he can't be in charge of personnel. Like that's just a no. And so wherever he goes next year, if he even coaches anywhere, I think he'd be great in the booth, whatever he wants to do. He was great whenever he did that NFL 100 thing. But you can't let him be in charge of personnel. You say, no, you can coach and we'll be in charge of players. And if he agrees to that, then great. But if he doesn't, then he just won't coach.
So he's 16 behind Shula? That's like 3 years.
Yeah. On a decent team. On the Patriots, it might be 16 years.
That's 4 years in
that's
Carolina.
That's probably what he wants.
What? 2 years with the Chargers. He'd win 9 or 10 games with the Chargers. Now, you said fair Harbaugh to the Chargers. You made it seem like, is that, are there whispers about that? Is that sort of the,
yes. Yeah. I think that's out there.
Everyone's going to want that job though. Like that job's every correct. Coach.
You're going to want Herbert. You're going to want some of the guys that they have on defense. You're going to, sure. I mean, you're in a division with the Chiefs, but I mean, that's fine. People talk about Harbaugh I think Bruce Feldman reported on it a couple of weeks ago. He's going to be suspended for a good part of 2024. That's the thought process. He'll be gone next year.
Takes the Michigan job.
I mean, I would think Sharon Moore is auditioning for it right now.
He's 4-0.
Yeah, and he's done winning a couple of games. But I think people are going to connect Harbaugh to the Bears just because he played there. But I mean, I do think you need to. I mean, I don't know what the relationship is or was, but now Kevin Warren, he used to lead up the Big Ten.
Yeah.
He's now with the Bears. Yeah. So, I don't know what the Harbaugh-Kevin Warren relationship is. Is there one? Is it good? Is it bad? That could come into play. But I think Harbaugh, California, San Diego already, USD, I think that makes sense for him. So I think that's where.
Will that owner pay him? Will that owner give him the money he wants?
I think he'll give him money and control. I think he'll give him personnel as well. So we'll see. But I think you're gonna have to wait till the end of the year to I think that he will wait to the end of the year to fire Staley, and I think then Harbaugh will be announced at some point in January. But what do I know? I just try to connect dots and listen to things that smart people say. So I'm not one of them. What else? I'm going to pause here.
I think he was waiting for one of us to say, like, yeah, you're smart, Bear.
No, okay. I wasn't waiting for that.
Dumb.
I was waiting for. Yeah,
you're so smart, buddy.
I was waiting for someone to give me a side on Carolina, Tampa Bay. Actually, I thought that's.
I like Tampa a lot. Guys, here's the thing. This coaching bounce thing is not a real thing. The numbers don't show that. Like, it's about 50% against the spread the game after coach is fired. Guys, Carolina is like, they're in a very bad place right now. Like, it's bad, right? Like, they fired Frank Reich and the quarterback coach, and they don't have enough coaches on their team right now.
You should volunteer.
Thomas Brown called plays early in the season. It made no difference in the off. They're not good on the offensive line. They're not good at skill position players. Their defense is not very good. Tampa Bay has Baker Mayfield. I get it. He can be up and down guy, but they do have actual good players on the football team. I don't know the motivation for Carolina in this game. I've been on fading Carolina a bunch this year. It's really paid off because they can't cover any spreads because they stink. I'm not sure the coaching change matters at all here.
I don't either. I think they're a terrible team. I just don't often want to lay close to 6 points with Tampa. We want to lay a point with Indy at Tennessee. I know, Will, you talked about that as a potential teaser leg as well. But the current seventh seed in the AFC, Indianapolis Colts. We get back to Coach of the Year. You talked about Tomlin before, but if the Colts were to make the playoffs, you could throw a Steichen in there as well. But you're right. I think in that, like, Campbell just feels like a placeholder. Like I think it was Tom Pelissero that every year does that, like, that NFL awards confidential by talking to executives around the league, like, what do they think is going to happen? I'm really curious when that piece comes out again. Hopefully it is Pelissero that I got his name right and credit him right, and it will come out again. So I'm really curious to see, like, what the executive kind of vote would be, because I think that Coach of the Year market is dead wrong. I think after laying that egg on Thanksgiving, I think Campbell is not going to win. And I think Ryan certainly has a shot. I think Tomlin has a shot. And I think Steichen has a shot. I think those would be the three guys that would have a chance to win that award.
A very quiet season for the Colts. Yeah, I know you want McDaniel for your ticket. I mean, you can't count them out. They were supposed to be good, so I would think he'd have to get to 13, probably 14 wins. But look, he's certainly a viable candidate. It's just funny with the Colts, with Steichen, they're just like the quietest little playoff contender. I mean, nobody talks about them. They're so under the radar. They lost their quarterback, and, you know, it's just weird to think that's a playoff team. It really is. It's been an under-the-radar season.
I want to talk about one more game. Can we talk about Detroit, New Orleans? This game, this line makes no sense. This line I thought would be a little higher. You got the Lions off the loss. They're going to be angry, and Dan Campbell's going to be eating drywall. Everybody's going to bet the Lions in this spot, right? So they open at 3.5. Now we're at 4. The Saints are 2-9 against the spread. The Saints are not a good football team. Yet this line isn't really budging off 4. I might have to take the plunge and take my least favorite quarterback, Derek Carr, plus the 4. How about this for a stat? The Lions have one win against a team with a winning record. Now, the Saints aren't a good football team. But this team, they just beat a bunch of bums. Look at the first part of the schedule for Detroit. And look at all the garbage on the schedule. The Saints actually play good defense. And the Saints could sort of disrupt the Lions' offense. Could we see the Lions go down again? I think it's very possible this week. And this will be a game that the sports books desperately need the dog to cover, because everybody is going to lay the 4. They're going to parlay the 4. They're going to lay the money line. They're going to parlay the money line. The books need Detroit in the worst way to go down this week.
Yeah, I could see myself, especially after how ugly the Saints have been on the offense side of the ball, being on. This is my kind of game. You think this is a bartender candidate? The Lions off of Thanksgiving loss coming back?
Yeah, this is 1A. It has to be. Detroit would be 1 for me, and then Chargers would be 2. I would think. But again, it's early. I do appreciate all the bartender love. People are like, who's the bartender? He's just very good at being very bad. And he crushed it. He had Lions on Thanksgiving. So maybe he goes back to the well for revenge.
I'm but surprised he did get back on Sunday.
Yeah, he had a nice week. I'm surprised people would be on the Lions, though. I don't know if I agree with that, just because, like, bettors are prone to recency bias, and if you lose for me a couple weeks in a row, I'm gonna be off, and that's how people think. They didn't cover a couple weeks ago against the Bears, and then they screwed everybody's teaser on Thanksgiving. So I don't know. You go 2 weeks without covering, I think the shine has come off Detroit a little bit, where it's like they don't cover. Right, I'm gonna go back to them. I don't know if people have that sort of trust level with Detroit where they're just gonna go back to the well a third time.
I'm curious. Like the game that I almost bet, and I haven't yet, I almost bet the Rams. It's up to 3.5, though. I guess Garrett's going to be okay. We're probably going to see Flacco. Is he still elite? But I don't know. I don't know if I'd want to take I definitely couldn't take the Browns here, but I don't know if I want to lay 3.5 with the Rams either. But I do kind of think the Rams are going to win this game, though.
That Dak's a hell of a player. Now you have Kupp, you have Kyren Williams, you have Stafford. It was always, hey, you have Kupp and you have Stafford. You had a real running back too. That's, you have a good bet. I'm trying to look for the updated odds for the playoffs. I'm not seeing the Rams here for whatever reason, but that gives him a different dimension. He was really impressive. I know that the Cardinals are terrible against the run, but Kyren Williams was super impressive. And you put him with McVay and with all those weapons, that's a much improved team, I think.
Bears checking the odds for you.
I'm checking your odds. The yes is still plus 225. Yes, 225 at FanDuel, which is obviously their prices are going to be a worse split. But yeah, it's cut in half in a week. I got some good
if you win this
good
week,
value on that number. That's the thing. If I win this week and the Seahawks will have lost on Thursday night in Dallas, we're going to be feeling good because I did play Atlanta to make the playoffs as well. And I think Atlanta just by default might actually wind up winning that division. Anything else? Well, we missed. You're shaking your head. No, over here.
Oh, I was thinking about, the line, the wagering on the Falcons Cowboys NFC wildcard game in Atlanta. What the number's going to be.
I will absolutely have the Falcons in that game. There isn't a question. You'd have to.
Falcons are my least favorite team to ever wage on in my entire life.
Falcons so plus 7. Sign me up.
It's going to be so bad. Desmond Ritter and Arthur Smith.
I'll be all over it. Falcons plus 7 at home against the Cowboys on January 13th or whatever the hell it is. Sammy, Will, anything else? We good? I
mean, Dallas had a teaser in that spot. But yeah, that's going to be the matchup, I'm afraid.
All right. Well, hopefully we will have a good weekend here. Always fun to kick this around with you. Let's see if we can get one of those nice future prices at home for the season as well. Take care, guys. Have a good week. So as we were kind of joking around with the bartender there, like the survivor was really put into a tizzy last week with that Lions loss on Thanksgiving.
Oh, yeah.
And then Monday night, the fight, Josh Dobbs turned into the pumpkin. On Monday night, right? You turn into the pumpkin.
Turn into the pumpkin, yes. Okay, I think so.
I want to make sure I got my animated classics right.
I think you go from pumpkin like to something good, then back to pumpkin.
Okay. Maybe. Yeah. Yes. So yeah, that was yeah. So the analogy did work.
Yes.
I did get it right. So yeah, I know that Circuit Survivor contest is down to I think 70 something people now. It's I think it's somewhere around there.
Yeah.
But this is a hard week because I know talking to a lot of people and you hear a lot of conversation out there, like save Jacksonville for the final week. Like
who they had the final week?
The Panthers. But at the same time, there's no guarantee that game is going to mean anything for the Jags in terms of seeding.
Yes.
So like they may not need the game. And while the Panthers are so bad, then they're just going to be in full tank. Well, not going to. And the thing is, it doesn't even matter because they don't have their pick. So like, if I have Jacksonville available, I'm using them this week. I like the Bengals plus the points.
Yes.
But I don't think they're going to go there and win. So if you've got Jacksonville, I would just use them this week because the other options.
Well, can I give you two other ones maybe? Possibly.
You can give me a couple options. Yeah.
I mean, Tampa Bay over Carolina.
That's one of them, but.
I'll get to my best bet in a few minutes, so we'll talk about this game. And Rams over Browns. Is that something you can take the Rams over the Browns?
you could do that. Those were not the two obvious ones that I thought people would. But see, that's the type of game theory that I think I like here, because I would not take the Chargers over the Patriots. You can't.
Please don't.
The Steelers over the Cardinals. We talked about that. That's just going to be a sweat of all sweats.
Yes.
So I could see the Rams. And the other one that I think you could see, which is my best bet, is the Houston Texans -3.5 against the Denver Broncos. Like, I just don't believe in this Denver team. I've been on them and against them a couple weeks for missed success, but there's just so much turnover luck involved. In his 5-game winning streak, Denver is +13 turnovers. Yeah. Like, you're not going to go +3 every single week in turnovers. Like, the Texans have really, they were in that game last week, could have won. That field goal comes up a doink off the crossbar. Yeah. Like, it's a massive swing game for playoffs for both teams. If you look at the Texans, two with the Titans, Jets, Browns, Colts the rest of the way. Like, they win this game, they're going to make the playoffs. So I like the Texans here at home, laying the 3.5 against Denver.
Before we get to my best bet, let's recap your two wagers. You have the Bengals +9.5, the Cardinals +5.5, and then your best bet here, Houston -3.5. So three NFL wagers for Bear in this podcast. My best bet is fading the Carolina Panthers. I'm thinking Tampa -5.5. Dead number, I get it. Interesting looking at where the wagers are at. A lot of people wager on the Panthers this weekend, at least so far the public is. Which, again, there really is not historically a dead cat bounce when your coach gets fired. The numbers have shown that straight up against the spread. I think Carolina is just, they're really freaking bad. And Frank Reich hasn't changed the personnel they have. Tampa has not played well lately, but they have better players and they play hard each week. Baker Mayfield continues to try to move the ball down the field. It's ugly at times, but the Panthers, I think, are just a dead franchise right now and they're dead inside. They're going to Tampa Bay. They're on the road. It's in a little warmer weather than they're used to right now. I just think Tampa Bay just steamrolls. They just steamroll the Panthers in this game.
Not surprising.
Tampa's still sort of playing for something. The Panthers are playing for nothing right now. They don't have their own draft pick. They don't have a head coach. They fired other coaches as well.
What a terrible situation.
I think they've covered one game. That was the game they won against the Texans. That's it this season. The games aren't even close. So I've been fading the Panthers each week. I faded them last week as well against the Tennessee Titans. They lost a game 17-10. A game Titans didn't even play that well in.
What type of price could we get on next Carolina Panthers head coach Jeff Schwartz?
Zero. There's not enough money for that. I make too much money doing this. I can't. I can't. I can't give up.
It's a lot more fun. I don't know about the financial reward.
I can't give this up. You're not making as much as an NFL coach doing this?
No.
You gotta talk to someone, buddy.
Imagine that.
You gotta talk to someone about that. No, zero chance I coach. Unless they let me work like a 9-to-5. Like, I just show up at 9, I leave at 5. I could be the O-line coach.
Yeah, just be like a special assistant to the offense.
I would totally, if someone wanted to hire me like to watch film all day and like offensive linemen evaluate them, I'd totally be in on that.
That'd be great.
And I know there are some places that do, like Steve Hutchinson does that for the Seahawks. Like, he's like an offensive line guy for them. He evaluates college guys and NFL guys for them. He's in an official capacity with the Seahawks to do that. I'd love to do that.
It's a great deal.
Yeah, it's a great deal. Yeah.
Well, he needs to do a little bit more evaluating on his own offensive line because they have not been very good this year.
A little bit hurt.
It's true.
Abe Lucas is back now. Charles Crossman hurt. Yeah, so that's part of it. Yeah. Injuries hurt, man.
Another one in the books.
We did it. Right? Yeah.
Although, of course, we have Super 6 as well this week.
Good point. It's never too late to play the free Fox Super 6 game for week 13. You just download the Fox Sports app right now and make your picks for a chance to win your share of $10,000 in weekly cash prizes. You can check out Bear's article on the Fox Sports app that will go over Super 6 picks for the week.
Back then, just one this week. We had Thanksgiving one last week and then the weekend one.
So
just back to the normal Super 6 workflow for this week, just the one contest. So
love it. How much St. Elmo's are we going to consume this weekend in Indy?
Friday night for sure. We'll be taking in the Pac-12 championship game. While
you get four in order.
I think that's right.
Yeah.
Four is probably about all you, cause they're pretty girthy. They're a good size. And then
it's a kid's podcast.
The shrimp have some girth to them.
They certainly do. Yes.
And the cocktail sauce is spicy.
It's very spicy. Yes. The word girth.
We have girth to us.
The word girth is just funny. It's one of those words that just. You know,
your mind is dirty, Jeff.
It triggers some laughter in my mind.
Your mind is in the gutter. All right, I'm going to take it over from here and just bid adieu to my co-host, who has officially lost himself now because of a word in the dictionary. Thank you, Sammy. Thank you, Will. Thank you to you, the listener and the viewer who take us in on the YouTube channel, Spotify, Apple, wherever you consume all of your podcasts. We appreciate it. Check us out on that YouTube page as well. You'll get to see Jeff making a fool of himself right now. Check out our pretty graphics that our awesome production team has.
Good job, yes.
For Jeff, for Sammy, for Will, I'm Bear. Bless you, bet. The more you lose when you win.